Stephen, my husband is about to walk through this door any minute now. He wants to be on the podcast. Under no circumstances are we allowed to let that happen.
Okay. So I need a new job.
Yeah, I think we could find you something. Let's get you hired.
What do you want me to say as a result?
I don't know. This is going poorly. I didn't plan this out at all. All right, get out of here.
You need better writers.
We do need better writers.
I think we have our opening. Nailed it.
Oh, no. No, we can't now. Oh, well, maybe we can. I don't know. That was just terrible.
Not unlike this episode of The Office.
Oh, see, now you're making me really keep it in. Really? You think this episode is terrible?
I don't think it's terrible. I just... kind of a low spot for me, I think. I like the B-plot with Dwight, but it just makes me sad for Andy that he's the kid in between his parents arguing.
Yeah, I like the cold open of this episode. Before we get into it, we are talking about the episode Mrs. California, Season 8, Episode 9, originally airing December 1st, 2011. We do have, like, a throwback kind of old school Dwight and Jim cold open, and then we have an A and B plot.
It reminded me of Megadesk. You know, Dwight's done something to the workspace, and this cold open, he has bought a standing desk, and he's feeling very smug, as people with standing desks often do.
Standing has proven to be healthier, increases productivity, and just looks cooler. Picture someone doing something heroic. Now, was he sitting or standing? Not counting FDR.
It was kind of like a big craze, and it just makes sense that Dwight is jumping on this craze of standing up for health and work reasons. But Jim kind of shames him into continuing to stand through praise. So now Dwight is in the predicament of he can't let Jim win in that, like, he can't sit down and admit he was wrong, that, you know, that sitting might be better.
Hey, guys, let's just all admit it, okay? Dwight's better than us. He had the guts to stop sitting, and he's never, ever going to go back on it, right?
That's right, Jim.
So he tries to sit, and he is caught multiple times, but then he devises a way to sit while he's standing, and Jim kind of catches him doing it, and I really like how Dwight just admits defeat and lets Jim push him over.
I could. I just don't feel like a loser.
Because you're sitting?
Standing.
Okay.
Don't.
Because you're sitting?
Standing.
You know I have to do this.
I know.
It's so good. It really is great. There's also a little Creed moment in here where, you know, because Dwight is feeling good about standing up, and I have a standing desk, I understand.
Every second you sit there is an hour off your life. Look at all of you. I feel like you're in a suicide cult.
No. You're way off on that one.
So Creed knows something that we don't.
Oh, well, he has experience as both a leader and a follower. We know that from a previous episode.
So we get now into the meat of this story where Robert California comes in and his wife is looking to rejoin the workforce. And, you know, maybe there's something available for her at Dunder Mifflin. But Robert is playing games. Right? He doesn't actually want her to work there, but he is not going to tell that to her. So he puts Andy in a really bad position for the next 28 minutes.
In 4 seconds, my wife is going to be coming through that door. I've told her she can work here. Under no circumstances can that be allowed to happen. There you are, honey. How on earth did you miss the elevator?
What was that?
I don't know. He wasn't talking to me. But if I were you, I wouldn't hire his wife.
It is a very dramatic opening to the episode where Robert California comes rushing in, banging on that little side window in Andy's office and saying that under no circumstances can his wife be hired. So I like how that is set up, but then the rest of the episode, it is just kind of like following Robert's manipulation. And I at least like it in that it seems new. We haven't seen a plot like this before because, I mean, we haven't had a character like Robert California before.
Easy. Just calm down.
Stop. I mean, it's true. But the B plot, on the other hand, is super reminiscent of the daycare mm-hmm. center that Dwight tried to set up. Now he's trying to set up a gym and Daryl is his potential client.
Yeah, the B-plot feels a little recycled. I still like it, though. I do like that it's not in the Michael Scott paper company space. Can you imagine how tight that gym would be? It would be very, very snug in there. But yeah, I do like this. I also just like, as a piece of like set design on the office, I love when the side window in that office is a plot point. We don't see it very often, but it's always fun, I think, when, you know, someone sticks their head through or tries looking through it. I don't know. It's kind of fun.
I agree with you. And that's like the main shot when the intro is filmed, where the person at the desk is kind of caught messing with the thing on the desk. That's kind of the formula that we have for the intro, and that's shot through that side window. So it is really nice to kind of see it used in the main episode. So I totally agree with you. I also agree with you about the B plot, in that even though it is recycled, I like it because it's in Dwight's mm-hmm. world. Like, we can see Dwight making this choice of setting up a gym somewhere else in the building that he owns and bringing in all of these kind of like farm things as yeah. exercise equipment.
Pick up these rocks and move them over there. You know, there's like a rusty saw in the corner. It's very upsetting.
Cutting tin really does like set your forearms on fire. So, I mean, he's right there. And then he buys back the tin. It's very economical.
So should we talk about Mrs. California?
Yeah. Let's talk about Mrs. California, and then we can talk about the fun little bits in Dwight's gym. So, yeah, Mrs. California, she, under no circumstances is she allowed to work there, but Robert is playing all of these games about how he's putting off the persona of the good supportive husband and also the powerful CEO of "you need to find my wife a job," and putting Andy in this position of trying to say no both to Robert California's wife and to Robert California, which is making him look really bad in both situations.
It's pretty terrible of Robert California to do this to them. And as we go through this, we'll see that she, Susan, Mrs. California, catches on to what's going on, and Andy sort of spills the beans. But yeah, Andy's just in the middle. There's even this one shot where Andy's at the end of the conference room table and the Californias are standing on either side of him arguing, like literally over his head. And I just had that vision of like a kid, you know, stuck listening to their parents argue. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, Mrs. California understands the way her husband can be as manipulative as he is. And I actually like that she catches on, and she also tricks Andy into telling her that Robert was involved in kind of like this equally manipulative way, that she mentions about how her husband is a difficult person and then kind of fools Andy into revealing that Robert was definitely involved in the decision making here.
I think I understand what you're going through. My husband can be a very difficult man to read, can't he?
Yes. The dude is an enigma.
Mm-hmm. So he is mixed up in this, isn't he? Got it.
Yeah, they are a lot alike. In fact, they're even dressed alike. They come in wearing like a teal shirt with black jacket, and she's wearing a skirt and he's wearing pants. But this black and teal look, like they are dressed alike. They sort of have similar mannerisms, and we also learned that you know, she worked for him. He was married to somebody else, and now they're married, so I guess we can fill in the blanks about what happened there. But they are also like playing games against each other, right? Like, she's playing this game too, like you said.
Yeah, it's very Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf a little bit, where like this couple is just fighting around these other people where they kind of shouldn't be fighting and manipulating each other. It's super awkward. But the main part of this episode, which takes up all the time, is when Andy is taking Mrs. Susan California, if that's even her real name, walking through.
She's the lizard queen.
Walking through the office and introducing her to everyone, and everyone is being uncharacteristically nice and normal, and Andy is very frustrated by this because he was hoping that even just bringing her around the office would put her off from working there and therefore helping him fulfill the mission that Robert gave him in the beginning. But instead, it's looking like a really nice place to work, and everyone's being really kind and very inviting. And it's probably because they know that this is the boss's wife, and they're trying to do the good thing because they didn't hear the desperate plea of Robert from the beginning like Andy and Jim did.
The example that really jumps out at me, people being like overly nice, is Dwight. So that she's talking to Jim about sales. Jim is kind of playing it down because he knows what's going on because he was in Andy's office when Robert stuck his head through the window. But Dwight like turns up the charm. It's actually like really charming in this. And Andy is trying to get Dwight to talk about like how weird he is about like ranking animals and survival skills.
You know, if you joined our sales department, you would be working very closely with our department head, Mr. Dwight Schrute.
That's me.
Dwight, why don't you tell Susan about some of your hobbies?
Oh.
Survival skills, mm-hmm. Ranking of animals.
Maybe over a beer after she's closed her first sale.
He's just really nice. And he's, you know, he understands the politics of it, that if the CEO's wife is going to be working, apparently in his department, we learned that he's in charge of the sales department here, which I don't think we knew before. But it's just, it's not going the way Andy wants. And it turns out that she's going to be placed in accounting, even though Andy says, we actually have a surplus of accountants now. But they that's where she's going to go. She has some bookkeeping experience. And they put her, it's so funny to me, they put her at Kevin's desk. Like, it's like take your daughter to work day, right? Like in season 2 or 3, whenever it is. And like everyone's kid is like sitting next to them at their desk. She's next to Kevin. Aaron gets her a tiny little stapler and they won't let her go sit at the empty sales desk where Kathy was sitting before Pam left. She's kind of stuck there next to Kevin. And, you know, Andy's trying to play the game too, right? He hires her. Robert California is mad about that. And so Andy tells everybody, you have to be mean to her now and drive her away. And it's just, it's this big mess.
So Robert doesn't want his wife working here. So now that she is, we have to drive her away.
Andy, if you didn't want her working here, then why did you hire her?
Oscar, it was a mistake, but one that can be fixed by all of us being mean to her.
How can we do that? Yeah. She's simply wonderful.
This is all pathetic.
I am not asking. I am ordering.
How mean are we talking about?
It would be great if she were gone by lunch. Aaron, you're up. Find her a place to work, but not too comfortable.
Got it. I know exactly which stapler to give her.
And at the same time, Robert is not giving Andy any help here. You know, he's not helping this mission of do not hire my wife. There is no point where Robert gives Andy a hand in this, because every single time Andy comes up with an excuse that seems like it would be enough, Robert California throws down the I'm the CEO gauntlet. Is there anything that you can do? And Andy gets forced into, you know, fake hiring Mrs. California, and Robert calls him up on the phone at one point and pretends to be his grandmother to not alert Susan that it's him on the phone. And he is desperately telling Andy to undo this, like fix it.
Hang on. Hello?
Say hello, Grandma.
Hi, Gam Gam.
Hold one finger up to Susan. He'll just be a second. You numbskull, you were given a very simple task. I could not have been more clear with you. Now, say, are you taking your medicine?
Are you taking your meds?
Why can you not say exactly what I tell you? Undo this. Undo it.
You didn't say goodbye to your grandmother.
We promised we'd never say goodbye.
And Andy's strategy to undo it ends up asking everyone to be really mean to her. This then starts this ball rolling that now Susan California is upset that everyone's being mean to her. She goes to her husband about this, and now it's a whole nother slew of problems that Andy now has to deal with. Mm-hmm. And he's the one now put on trial for having the employees be mean to her. Like, you need to fix this now. So at every single turn, and also, Robert California just like disappears. He just leaves. Like he drops these problems into Andy's lap and then skirts away and offers no help whatsoever. And Andy's left just floundering this entire episode. And this is when we find out that he accidentally reveals to Susan California that Robert is involved. There is this back and forth of you tell the truth. No, you tell the truth. It's kind of like a who's on first kind of, you know, you're not really sure what the other person is saying and what you should say back.
This is my wife. Whatever privacy you were trying to protect between us, I thank you for. But it is not welcome right now. Just be honest.
No games.
No games.
Okay. I mean, it was kind of funny, actually. Robert storms in, and he says, in 4 seconds, my wife's going to be in here. I told her she could work here. Under no circumstances can that be allowed to happen. Lying son of a bitch.
Tell my wife you're lying.
I am lying. I am a compulsive liar.
That's not true, is it?
No, it's not.
Andy just finds himself constantly questioning what he is supposed to do and what is expected of him from Robert California. And this is the same thing. It seems like Susan has been through something similar in that, like, she's often also not sure what's expected of her.
Yeah, totally understandable on Andy's part that this would be a confusing situation because it's just, it's a mess. And like you said, he kind of eventually spills the beans and we learn, yeah, that she's not necessarily surprised by this. You know, she's aware of Robert California's game playing, if you will. But he is not going to let it go. So he ends up trying to call Jim in to this meeting where the three of them are.
This is the best part of the entire episode, I have to say.
Agreed. And Jim hears this, and like we see him in the background through the window of the conference room, like bolt from his desk.
Where's Jim?
He just rolled out and crawled out.
And Robert tells her to call security, so he can't leave the premises. So we later see his car idling by the gate, and he is climbing up that utility ladder up the side of the building to go hide on the roof. And that's where we see our friend Creed again, who's flying a drone, apparently.
Yeah, like an RC helicopter. He's up there. This part of the episode is so great. Jim is like a fugitive. He is running. I love the moment when Robert California bursts through the doors downstairs, kind of like an agent like on the pursuit of some criminal. The gates get locked. The car is left idled in the parking lot. Jim is like running for his life through the entire industrial park. It's a really good bit. This is something that's new to this episode that I also really like. I love that we run into Creed. I love that Creed says some strange thing about what about your friend when Jim says you didn't see me.
Creed, I was never here, all right?
Okay. What about your friend?
Oh, boy.
And finally, Jim gets caught. Oh, he loses his shoe, like, as he's climbing that utility ladder, which is another little funny visual addition. But he does eventually get caught by Robert California when he is descending the roof and he can't scurry back up fast enough. And instead, he gets caught and drawn into this interrogation room where they try and find out the real truth of what Robert California said. Did he say not to hire his wife, or is Andy the liar?
Yeah. And Jim, under this pressure, doesn't really answer.
I don't know what you want me to tell you. To be really honest, my wife works here, and I love it. She literally makes me work harder. She makes me smarter. She makes me remember why I'm here. And between us, she's on maternity leave right now, and I would love to leave this room and see her face. I would love it. I don't know how this helps, but it's just what I'm thinking.
All right, thanks.
Yes, all right, great.
That sort of diffuses things, I think. Because he and then later Andy are kind of dismissed. And the Californians are going to go home. And I guess the day is over.
Yeah, it's like, well, Jim's honesty about his love for Pam ruins another relationship. Isn't that like why Pam's parents broke up?
That's true. Right? That's true.
No one can live up to Jim and Pam, apparently.
I guess not. But, you know, Mrs. California is on the hunt, I guess. And she's waiting for Andy in the parking lot at the end of the day.
I'm sorry about the position you're put in today.
You know, honestly, we all wanted you to work there. Except for him. Especially me.
Yes, I thought we really hit it off.
Yeah.
Well, different circumstances.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe after all this settles down.
Totally.
It's a date.
Hmm? He's like, wait, what? It's a great ending.
That ending was so weird to me. I was like, wait, what is happening? It felt a little... felt a little out of nowhere. Like, oh, all of a sudden, Mrs. California is setting her sights on Andy.
Well, I guess she set her sights on Robert California at some point in the past, so.
Oh, right. A new boss.
You know, she's got a thing for managers. Who doesn't?
So, yeah, that's like the main part of the episode, our big A plot. Again, that funniest moment is when Jim pushes off on his chair and like rolls out of the frame to get away from the interrogation. That is just office visual humor at its best right there. I love that moment.
It's really good.
So we also have the B plot. The Dwight Schrute Gym for Muscles.
Yes.
Is now open for business.
Well, today's your lucky day. I have opened, in this very office building, Dwight Schrute's Gym for Muscles.
What a good name for a gym. I mean, that's pretty good, right?
Oh, yeah. I'd go to that gym.
Yeah. Yeah, so he is... always, this is a continuation of a previous storyline where he's always looking for ways to supplement his income as the business owner. And he says in a pretty terrible talking head that, you know, overweight people are stressful on his building and on the office equipment. And if they can lose some weight and he makes money that way, it'll help make up for these other expenses. Pretty terrible. But he goes and like we said earlier, he builds this gym. And Daryl is really his sort of mark to be his first customer. And we see in a voiceover that Daryl has maybe some like body issue images, and he's maybe a little embarrassed about his weight in front of Val, and he wants to get in shape. And so he is going to take Dwight up on this. And that's when he discovers the horror that is this gym that Dwight has built.
What do you think? Huh?
No, this is not a gym. This is like a scene out of Saw 5.
You haven't even looked around yet. Look. Gravel bucket squat yoke. Right? Dedicated phone book ripping station. You ever cut tin before?
No.
5 yards in, and your forearms will be on fire. Plus, I will buy the tin back from you that you cut for 2 cents a yard.
Yeah, Daryl is not having it. He refuses to pay for what Dwight has set up. I mean, a gravel yoke and tin cutting and a big hammer to hit a tire. I mean, who wouldn't want that? I mean, it's right there in the name. Dwight Schrute, Gym for Muscles. I mean,
what do you expect, Daryl?
That's exactly what I was expecting. So Daryl says, you know, he puts his foot down and he's like, make a real gym and then I'll show up. The real surprise here is that Dwight does make a real gym. Like, he actually hires a gym equipment company and they bring in all this gym equipment and they set it up, and it's kind of a real gym. And so we get this, we get a scene where Daryl is working out in the real gym, but Dwight kind of calls him out on how half-assedly he's actually doing this workout. He's just kind of like doing some leg lifts while on his phone, and he was barely on the treadmill.
What do you think you're doing?
Getting my sweat on.
I build you this temple to the human body, and you're lifting what, 5 pounds?
I just did like 35 minutes on the treadmill.
I was watching you. You want to know how long it really was?
No.
8 minutes.
Dude, I'm going to be here all week, right? 5 days a week. I figure I'll start slow.
Is that the same philosophy you apply to buffalo wings? I want you to bring that same buffalo wing passion to this gym.
I like that Dwight is encouraging Daryl to like actually try harder. You know, he's not just letting Daryl coast and like use the gym and take his money. He actually wants to see, you know, his friend get in shape. And he does this cool little trick where he's helping him do some reps, some lifting. And he won't let him, he won't help him until Daryl actually tells him the real reason he wants to get in shape. And this is when we find out that he wants to get in shape for Val.
Dwight, come back and spot me.
All right, I'll help you.
But first, you gotta tell me what your goal is. What do you want?
To push this bar up.
No, because if that was the case, the bar would be up by now. What is your goal?
Help me.
What do you want?
To look good for Val.
Val Kilmer? I don't buy it. That doesn't make any sense.
Wow. We figured out your goal. I am going to make you the buffest dude Val Kilmer has ever seen.
And I love how Dwight mistakenly thinks that he wants to get in shape for Val Kilmer.
It's so good.
Either way, he's there to help him.
Yep. And and we see what is just a very quotable moment of Dwight's pelvic bowl stretching. And Gabe, of course, comes in and is like, hey, nice bowl, man. You know, Gabe knows what's up with the pelvic bowl stretching.
You wish that every exercise was strutting around the gym like the Fonz? Well, how do you think the Fonz got so cool? He stretched his pelvic bowl.
I didn't know Daryl joined.
Looks that way.
Nice pelvic bowl. Deep.
The two members of this gym are Daryl and Gabe. So that's quite the pair.
It is. It's not a gym I want to go to with Gabe, you know, but that's fine. But no, I like this, and I like that it is a continuation of Daryl wanting to put things in his life, you know, kind of where he wants them, kind of taking control. But I like that it's not Andy sort of helping him with that, right? We saw that before when they had that big, really impactful, I think, conversation in the episode with the lottery ticket, where Andy's like, hey, you know, you were applying yourself. What happened? You know, you got to get back on it. And now we see Dwight doing it in Dwight's own way. But I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, despite the problematic talking heads that Dwight has about his business plans and his business deals, I do think that, I mean, Dwight wouldn't have put in that time with Daryl to get him to say like why he's actually working out if he didn't actually care. So I like that they have those two sides of it. We don't just see Dwight as kind of like this manipulative business monster. He actually does want to help his friend. And that's kind of where we're left with the Dwight's gym. I don't think it ever comes up again. It's kind of like a one-off thing, but maybe it's there.
Yeah, it's there in the building somewhere. I don't know where it is in the building, but it's there.
There are a couple like other small scenes in this episode where Dwight tries to get other people upstairs to join and he's shot down by everyone's excuses. I did want to mention that we do know that Gabe is upset about his gym because of the nudity in his gym that he normally goes to. So maybe he's pleased that there's a new gym opening up where it doesn't seem like there are any showers to even be nude
in.
Good. So that's probably why Gabe's there. We do also get a great possible Toby is the Scranton Strangler moment, because when he is bringing in Mrs. California to, you know, fill out some papers to like make her employment official, he asks her if she has her passport, and she questions like who carries around their passport. And so we find out that Toby is the one that carries around his passport, because you never know when you are ready for an adventure or needing to leave the country. I don't know. I'm just saying it's another piece to the puzzle.
Did you bring your passport with you?
Who walks around with their passport?
Well, I do. Always ready for adventure.
Have you had any?
No.
So, Mrs. California, not working at Dunder Mifflin, but Daryl's going to get in shape. That's where we are.
So that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you for listening, and be sure to go over and follow us at tall_beats, or you can find us individually at ISMH and at Tiff Arment on Twitter. You can subscribe to become a member over at The Incomparable and get fun goodies at the end of the year, access to our members-only bonus feed, and you can join us in the conference room, our members-only Slack. So be sure to come back and listen next week when we talk about the episode Christmas Wishes. So we're back to Christmas. It's fine. We're just a little off on the holidays, but here we go. Christmas time. And until then, Stephen, I am going to go work on my pelvic bowl.
I don't think I needed to know that.
Nice pelvic bowl. Deep.